Blog Talk Radio.
Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Miss
Cassandra Ricks. Miss Cassandra Ricks will, she will be speaking with us this evening and giving us a word, and looking forward to what God has placed on her heart. For those of you who have tuned in by internet, we'd like to let you know that we are an interactive Bible study. And what does that mean? That means that you have the opportunity to call in and to participate and to be a part of this blog radio cast. Amen? And by when you call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4034. And once you call in, you would just hit the number one. Oftentimes, we'll have the mics open, so you can just go ahead and speak when the you know, share what God has placed on your heart when the speaker gives you an opportunity to open up, or when they open up the mics. Amen. So we do look forward to what God has placed on our heart. And also, we'd like to inform you that it, when you do call in, or if you choose, or if you miss out or whatever, you can go to our archives. Amen. You can go to our archives, and once you get into our archives, it will take you, you would go in and you would look for New Beginnings Ministries. That's New Beginning Ministries. And once you get into New Beginning Ministries, then you would go in and you would type new, go into New Beginning Ministry, look for the URL, and the URL will be We Can Begin Again. We Can Begin Again. Amen. And once you click on that, you can listen to any of the broadcasts, blogcasts that we have done over the time. If you happen to miss Cassandra Ricks this evening, you can even call in and you can go through the archive and you can hear her this evening. Amen. If you happen to miss out, if there are any of your friends that you would like to share with what that could be a blessing to them, all you would do is basically just, you know, you would go to the archives and ask them to share with the archive. Amen. So everything is recorded. So we'd like to let you know that. We're going to have prayer, then we're going to move directly on over into, we're going to move on over into North Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for being able to take out time just to feed on your word. We know that we have heavenly food that we can eat, but we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the spiritual food that you give us day by day. And we thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, because your word helps to keep us balanced. When we're off course, when there are things going on in our life, we can go to your word, Heavenly Father, which will give us guidance. And we thank you for your word. And Father, we ask, Lord, that we would be a blessing to others as we minister, sharing who you are in our lives and the blessings that you have given us. And we would be a blessing to others, Father. We thank you for Mrs. Cassandra Ricks for this evening. We thank you for what you have placed on our heart. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that all ears are open, Heavenly Father, all minds are cleared, and that we might receive what the word has placed on our heart and we'll apply it to our lives. Father, we know that we cannot do anything without you. We ask that you be with the sick and afflicted, Father. Be with those, Heavenly Father, who are confused, those, Heavenly Father, who are lost. Lord, Father, we ask that you be with those. We have those in nursing homes, those with cancer. Father, we have so many that are sick and afflicted, and we ask, Father, Lord, that you would just bless them in a special way, Heavenly Father. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to move on over to Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Mrs. Hicks, are you there?
Yes, praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the God. Boy, I got to tell you, I was really cutting it short this evening. I was really cutting it short, coming in and trying to get everything set up. Everything was already set up, but coming in and trying to, you know, get on air at the right time when it's interesting. It's interesting. So I thank God for allowing for allowing me to be able to get in and start getting everything on time. So I'm going to move out of the way and let you do what God has placed on your heart for this evening. We're open and we are ready to receive.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity of fellowshipping with you tonight to share God's word, what God has laid on my heart. Tonight I will be coming from Ezekiel chapter 37. And what I will be talking about in Ezekiel 37, the topic is the Valley of Dry Bones. And what I got out of it to share tonight, what God told me to share tonight was, the Valley of Dry Bones will live if we obey God and walk the walk that we're sharing with others and that we're teaching with others. Before I get into the lesson on tonight, I would really love to share a testimony. This past 2 weeks has been a lot going on with my family. My mother was sick. My father called me about 1 in the morning, about 2 Fridays ago, and asked me to come over. He said my mother couldn't lay down in the bed to go to sleep. And so we took her to the local hospital here in Rocky Mount. And it was about 1:30 that morning. They checked her over, and they admitted her into the hospital about 6:30, 7 o'clock that morning. And they were saying that she had fluid around her lungs. They diagnosed her with congestive heart failure. And they kept her in the hospital for a couple of days. They administered medication, but my mother was not getting better. On Sunday, that following Sunday, the nurse came in and told my mother they were discharging her. And I was trying to understand why, because in the hospital, you know, you have your own bathroom in the hospital, and my mother could not raise herself up off the bed or get off the bed to go to the bathroom by herself without assistance. And so my mother told the nurse, she said, "I don't feel like I'm ready to go home. Could you please call my doctor and see if they will keep me for a couple of more days, because something is not right with my body." So the nurse called the doctor. The doctor said, "All your test results came back. We didn't find anything. We're going to discharge you. You follow up with your regular doctor in 4 days. So my mom got in a wheelchair, and I told my mom, I said, "We're going to take you somewhere else. We're going to take you to another hospital." So we took my mother to a hospital about 45 minutes out from here that same night, that Sunday night after they discharged her. They admitted her into that hospital, I say, around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And on my way there, driving her to this hospital, I was just so uneasy because I was just so disappointed that the local hospital had let her go. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, because I have a personalized tag on my car. My personalized tag says, "He did it," because God did something magnificent for me at the time when I got that car. And I put that tag up there that I would be reminded of the blessings that of the person that God was, who God was. And so on the way to the hospital, on the drive there, God reminded me of that tag. "He did it." And when I said, "He did it," he said, "The same God that did this is the same God that's going to do that." So I drove my mom on to the hospital. They admitted her at the hospital about 45 minutes from my house. They ran tests on her, and they were like, "I can't believe that the other hospital discharged her." And what they found out was that my mother had 18 pounds of fluid resting around her heart.
Wow.
And they drained the fluid with Lasix, and they did some medication adjustments, and they went into full details about the congestive heart failure. They were saying, yes, it's congestive heart failure, but not the heart failure where you would need a pacemaker or something like this. This is something that can be treated and maintained, and she comes home to a healthy lifestyle. Change a few of her eating habits, and we readjust some medication. So from that Sunday night up until Friday, they drained 18 pounds of fluid from around my mother's heart. And that night when I left her at the hospital, I had to come back to be to work at 8 o'clock. So I left the place about 3 in the morning. And on my way home, God just gave me the spirit of peace that everything was going to be okay. So I went on to work, and I got off work that evening. I checked on my mom throughout the week and everything. But to bring you to where I am now, my mom is home. She's 20 pounds lighter. She's lost 2 more pounds because they readjusted the medicine. And all that is just fluid from around her heart. They did a catheter on her. They didn't find any kind of blockages or anything. And they said if my mother just continues to take her medicine like she should and change a few eating habits, my mother should live. And me and my mother went into prayer. I usually do all the praying. But when I started to pray, my mother started saying, I shall live and not die and declare the words of the Lord. And she started to say that from time she went into that hospital to time she came home. And I just want to tell you tonight that God is a good God. He is awesome. And I could have lost my mother, but I thank God for making a way for us to get connected with that other hospital, and they were able to do the things they did. That is a testimony. Because she could have laid down that night and went to sleep and died.
Yes.
Her heart could have drowned with that much fluid around her lungs and things of that nature. So I just want to give that testimony because the same God that worked that miracle for me before is the same God that worked that miracle for me last week.
Amen.
And I'm just truly grateful, and I just had to share that. And I wanted to share it because with the Valley of Dry Bones, it made me think about that. That was a dry situation, you know, and my mother's faith has been increased even the more. Because she tell me all the time, my faith is not like your faith. I said, well, Mama, you got to start working in your faith. The more you work in your faith, the more you lean on your faith, the stronger your faith will get. And the same God that took you through this, he will take you through everything else. But you just have to believe. And I thought that was a good testimony to share because when I look at the text with Ezekiel, the things that he done took great faith. Okay, amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible. I'm reading chapter 37 of Ezekiel, verses 1 through 14. And it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, die unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And then I behold, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and said to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our own part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So as I told, as God gave me a topic for the day, with Ezekiel 37 and 14, it says, the valley of dry bones will live if you obey God and walk out what you're teaching. As we read here in these verses, Ezekiel, let me give you a little background on Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a man who was chosen to obey God. He was a priest, but God sent him to the streets to preach to the Jews. Mm-hmm. 22 years he spent telling everyone about God's judgment and salvation. He was calling the people to repent and obey God. Ezekiel was a man that lived what he preached. So God gave Ezekiel instructions. God told Ezekiel to illustrate his message with dramatic lessons. So he did three things that they pointed out in the intro. It says he was lying on his side for 390 days, eating only 1/8 ounce meal a day cooked over manure.
Mm-hmm.
He shaved his head and his beard off.
Mm-hmm.
And when his wife died, he showed no sorrow when she died. Now, Ezekiel is an example for us in the text of what it means to be obedient, what it means to be faithful, and what it means to be courageous.
Mm.
In chapter 37, we see this as a message of hope. And a passage God shows his faithfulness to us. It is a perfect example of what our lives could be if we stay committed in our walk as we learn to serve God in whatever, whenever, and whenever he asks us to do so. I'm going to repeat that again. It's a perfect example of us serving God. Serving God, being obedient and serving God, and doing whatever, whenever, and however he asks us to do what he needs us to do. Ezekiel was chosen by God to deliver this message to the people because they had lost hope, and he wanted to let them know that if they repented and turn from their ideology and the other things that they were participating in, that they had a future of restoration. And can you just imagine how hard it is to try to get people to see the goodness of God and they don't believe, and how many times he probably was rejected and told, and people probably thought he was crazy. But God allowed those same people to see the manifestation later in chapter 37. As what he did when Ezekiel was speaking to these dry bones, he was speaking to the people.
Yes.
People were the dry. The people were the dry. That's what the dryness was. That's what the brokenness was. The people were dead.
Mm-hmm.
They had no spirit. And God was not alive in their lives. Ezekiel was chosen by God to deliver this message of future restoration and hope. In chapter 37, we see the vision and the prophecy coming to manifestation. The dry bones represent the people being in captivity. And the joining of the sticks represent the nation of Israel being restored. As we notice in the text, Ezekiel spoke to these bones, and they joined together. They were revived. They were restored.
Amen.
The stony heart was purified, and life was given to these dry places. And God brought life by placing his Holy Spirit within them. Amen? So when they talk about these dry bones in this story, they're talking about some people that were just doing any kind of worshiping that they want. They were just doing whatever they wanted to do. And they had totally turned their backs on God, and they were just not operating in the unity that they needed to, and that they were a dead place. They were a dead place. And Ezekiel just didn't know what to do, because it tells us in the text that when he went there, the first thing he said was, he said the hand of the Lord was on him. He said the Lord went with him and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, there were they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel didn't know what to do, because he turned around and he said to God, only you know this, Father. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And what Ezekiel was doing, he was preaching to these people in the streets. People that had lost hope. They were so far from God. He was preaching to these people in the street. And God told him to prophesy, to speak to these people. And it's a perfect example here of God's word bringing life. God's word bringing life to a dead situation. And
that's
it
good.
Says right here, it says, again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto the and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is alive and it's active and it's and it is sharper than any two-edged sword.
That's right.
And it will bring life to any dead situation. When my mom was in that hospital and we joined around that bed and started to pray, and she joined in with us praying, and she said, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And she said, my organs shall function the way God created them to function. That's what she began to say sitting up in that bed as we were joined around her in prayer. And the same thing Ezekiel did, he spoke to a dead situation. My mother grabbed a hold of faith, and she spoke to a dead situation too.
Amen.
And the same way that my mother spoke to a dead situation, we as believers have to do the same thing.
Amen.
We have to be the example for the people that do not have the faith that we have. We have to continue to study God's word and walk the walk and talk the walk just like Ezekiel, walk the walk and talk the talk just like Ezekiel did. Speak what thus saith the Lord. Speak what the word of God says over our situations, over our dry places, because our words don't mean nothing. But
that's
Ezekiel went for 22 years, almost 70 years passed before this came into manifestation, the things that he spoke over this situation before it came in chapter 37. Ezekiel started working with these people 36 chapters ahead. And these things came into manifestation years later. To us, it seemed like a long time, but to God, there's no time.
Amen.
We're the only ones that want to keep up with time. So as I continue on in the verse, I'll stop reading right here at verse 5. I'm going to read it again. It says, thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. God is saying he's going to give us a covering. He's going to protect us. That's what he's saying there. And he's and put breath in you, and ye shall live. and ye shall live and know that I am the Lord. What God is trying to do to us with restoring us, he's going to increase our faith. It's going to increase our faith. We're going to know him a little bit more than what we knew him the day before, and we're going to be able to be courageous, and we're going to be able to stand. And in the previous text, in the previous chapters, it tells us before Ezekiel went to do what he was doing, God had already sat down and talked to him and told him that people were going to reject him, what he was up against. But God said, say what I tell you to say. I'm going to put these words in your mouth, and you say what I tell you to say. Mm-hmm. You listen to me. Regardless of what things look like, what's going on around you, you listen to me and you say what I tell you to say. And Amen. You do what I tell you to do. And I'm going to show these people something through you. Amen. The same God Ezekiel was serving is the same God we serve today. Amen?
Amen.
So Ezekiel said, I prophesied, and I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, the shaking and the bones came together, bone to his bone. He was speaking to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff started to happen right then.
Amen.
Amen. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them.
Hmm.
Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath. And breathe upon these slain, that they may live. The slain. And anybody tell me what do you think slain means?
To kill.
It means what?
To kill.
Right.
Murder.
So God is bringing life to a dead situation, and he breathed breath unto the slain, and they live. Amen, amen. So, Ezekiel, he says, I prophesied as he commanded me to, as God commanded him to, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. They were restored, and they joined together. Amen?
Amen.
Then he said unto me, God is talking to Ezekiel, saying God is talking to him again, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions, any comments so far?
Mm-mm.
I've been talking the whole while. So anybody that want to say anything or add anything to it,
I think it's a very profound scripture here and testimony. But you think of the dry bones and then they've been murdered and bones have separated from tissue, open air, which means that the tissues, was, flesh was eaten by animals. And they're dry,
which means a long time has passed, but for, you know, video was used as a tool, but for, and this is an ultimate miracle, for the bones to reconnect, tendons, and then life to come back into them. Under these circumstances, that is pretty remarkable.
Yes.
We have to look at our own lives and put that in perspective, you know?
That's right. That's right. And that's what that's right. And that's what I looked at too when I read it. You know, I was like, sometimes, you know, in life circumstances, you know, we'll get caught up in worldly things, and sometimes we'll be so caught up in worldly things that we're neglecting our hope in God, and we can get lost.
Mm-hmm.
We can get lost. So to read this was truly. I had already started studying it before the stuff I went through with my mom, so it actually prepared me for what I was getting ready to go through. And when I started reading it, you know, earlier, trying to prepare to teach it early in the month, and then I went through the stuff with my mom, I was like, God. We shall live, and we're going to declare the word to the Lord. And it just empowered me. It just empowered me, and it increased my faith. And when he reminded me of what my personalized tag said, I thought about this scripture. I said, the same God that did that is the same God that I serve right now.
Amen.
And really, it empowered me to be able to teach it.
Amen.
Because I actually went through it myself to see it. God is awesome. God is awesome. And he is still in the miracle business.
Yes, he is.
He's still in the miracle business. They help our unbelief sometimes because of the world's circumstances. But we just have to be courageous. And God prepared Ezekiel for a time such as that right there that we're going over, because he was telling Ezekiel in the previous chapters, like, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. You say what I told you to say. You remember what I tell you to say, and you live by it, and you demonstrate it in front of the people. And that's where you get to exude God's power in your life. That's when the power from on high is manifesting in your life and it's resting on you.
And two things. Can you imagine if he was afraid and he didn't do what God said do? That means that not only his disobedience, but through him, they wouldn't be able to live. And God saw that they needed to live. They needed to come back. And just like you were saying, how so many times people get caught up in the world and they go this way and that way. And what impressed me was 14, when it says, and I shall put my spirit in you and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, right there. We go off into different things, into different lands, into different areas. But here's God breathing in you so you can live and come back into your own land, the land that I have prepared for you.
For you. Amen.
For you.
Amen.
Amen. This is good. And you're right about that, God preparing you with your mom and, you know, just making it even deeper. And I don't even know the word, but it just makes it even more fuller, the
word. Yeah, right. And that's what I be saying, like when we use the term. Right. And when we use the word awesome, we can't even really explain what that's like. But that's how I feel about teaching this particular topic tonight, because he allowed me to live through it and to see himself, you know, to see him in it and to know that that was him talking to me, you know, to confirm. Yes, I speak to you. I still speak to people today. You know, I have an individual relationship with people today. So many people, they want to lean on the church. to look for their intimacy with God. And yes, we should not forsake to assemble ourselves, but we should have personal encounters God on our own in our everyday life.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
If the church wasn't there, what would you do?
Amen. That's right.
God wants us to.
I would like to. I just want to interject on that, and that is so true. But oftentimes, what we do miss out on is God wants. That was a divine command, command that God gave. And when I say a divine command, God wants his people to be whole. That was divine. And because of all this happened and everything drying up and what Ezekiel saw, but God gave a divine command to Ezekiel, but the purpose was that they turned their backs on them. So if, in order to receive blessings here on earth, we have to be obedient and we have to live according to God's word.
That's right.
There is obedience. There's some things that we have to do in order for God to give us those earthly blessings.
Talk about it.
When you went there, you know, you were in your own natural mind. You was in the spirit of the Lord, and God was what God was speaking to you because of where you were. You know, now if you thought on earthly fights, on earthly values, then you would have been thinking that, well, you know what, we're going to listen to the doctor, and we're going to take you home and see how things work out. If it doesn't work out, then we'll bring you back tomorrow. But God had another plan for your mother.
That's
right. Amen.
So God directed you to another hospital. And had not you listened to the word of God,
the
I don't know if we can be able to talk about your mother being here today. So
I'm seeing
that shift, that divine shift. Because you listen to God, and we have to do the same thing. God gives us a divine command, but he also wants us to be holy. There's some things we have to give up. There's some things that ways that we have to live. And that's why they were dying. Ezekiel saw everybody, they turned their backs on God. They were the idols and everything else. And God does not bless us when we are sinking in sin. He'll give us the opportunity to turn things around and bless
That's
us.
That's right.
And he'll bless us. He'll give us earthly blessings. But there's a part that we have to uphold. I just wanted to share that.
That's so good. And you know where people, deceived at? When they feel like, and I'm talking about those that have been in the church, and now they sort of strayed away, not sort of, but they've strayed away, but yet the blessing, they're still being blessed in their job, and they're still being blessed here and there. They think that God, they can live any kind of way, and God is blessing them. Sure, he rains on the just and the the rain comes on the just and the unjust. But what I'm saying is, after a while, see, this is where the enemy is so insidious, too. He makes them think that, okay, you can do what you want to do. Look, God's still blessing you anyway. God blesses, but you know what? There comes a time when the rubber meets the road, and they'd have to realize that it's no longer. When there is sin, God pulls away from sin. There's no doubt about that. And promises that, I'm going off into a tangent now, and promises are conditional. He says, if you do this, I will do that. If you do that, I will do this. People don't realize promises are conditional. The love of God is unconditional. But promises, God's not just going to bless mess. He doesn't bless messy stuff. But where the enemy comes in at, people don't have intimacy with God. They don't even spend time with Him, and they still feel like they're being blessed. And I'm talking about experience, because I look at some of my family and how God is, I mean, things are going their way and things are happening for them, but yet they don't spend no time with God. They just partying, doing whatever. You know, they've strayed away from the Lord, and yet they feel like, well, you know, like God hears me and he's blessing me. Yeah, God is blessing you, but there comes a time when you're going to have to know that God just doesn't bless mess. I just went off into a tangent, but I'm just saying that we have to be careful. We have to be careful in knowing what's God and what isn't God.
Amen. You didn't go off on a tangent.
I know I lost everybody, but
no, you didn't.
I'm just saying,
Yeah, it was very well said, because that's one of the things I was trying to point out here with Ezekiel, is that Ezekiel was faithful. He was obedient, and God told him what to do to live this thing in front of the people. It was a commandment that God gave him. Not only did he give that commandment to Ezekiel, people think just because it's the Old Testament that, oh, that stuff happened before Christ. Mm-hmm. We still have a standard of holiness. And Elder Clay said God wants the whole.
There it is.
Whole. Yeah. He wants us whole. It's no such thing as holiness is old fashioned.
Right. Amen.
Cover yourself up.
Amen.
Dress presentable, because you're a representative of Christ. And if I was not trying to live this life in front of my mom, do you think that she would have thought about maybe we should pray? You know?
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't really showing her God in my life.
Right. Amen.
She probably wouldn't have trusted me to say, let's pray. So we have to, so that makes a difference. When we're out here ministering to people, we're telling them about this gospel. We're telling them about the good news. But every time we get mad, they see us with a cigarette. They see us cussing people out. They see us ready to fight. They see all this other stuff, but we study talking about God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're studying talking about God, and they're saying in the back of their mind, well, if God is so good and this person so saved, why are they acting like that?
Right.
Everything I have heard about God, everything I have read about God, I did not see him cussing nobody out, judging people, and treating people any kind of way. And also from the text, the Elder Clay said something earlier about that was a divine moment where he particularly sent that man to do, I don't know whether it was him or whether it was you, but it was a divine moment where he particularly sent Ezekiel to speak to the people. And what if Ezekiel had gotten scared and turned back?
Right.
Look at how many people would have been lost.
Lost. Yes.
And it would have grieved God that he lost his people. Because God loves us. He loves us. He loves us unconditionally. And he will go to the end to try to get us.
Mm-hmm. He sure will.
He will go to the end to try to get us. But we have to make that decision on whether we're going to allow him in.
Come on now.
Or whether we're going to keep rejecting him and holding on to this stuff that we think is just so great. That's really just not all that good.
Amen.
We think it's so great. We think it's so great. And we think we're giving up so much. But the peace that God will bring you is the peace that surpasses all understanding. That you can't even imagine what it's like to have that peace in your heart.
Amen.
And your bills may be due. But you got peace. Yes. You go to sleep because you know that God is going to work things out for you.
Amen.
He didn't bring you that far to leave you.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. All right. So the key thing that I would like to focus on here is that Ezekiel was obedient. Ezekiel was faithful. He was courageous. God had already told him not to be afraid of their faces. Amen. And to say what he put in his mouth to say. God already told Ezekiel that he was going to be rejected, but he wanted Ezekiel to have that divine moment with his people so his people could really see God's love. They could really see who God was, and they could have the opportunity to repent and be restored wholly, that they could speak life to dead situations and that dry bones would live. Amen. And Ezekiel is a good example for us today that we're here on this earth and we're supposed to be speaking life to dead situations.
Yes.
If we're not saying anything out of our mouth that can build people up or make people even more curious to know who God is or to desire to have a better relationship, we need to reevaluate our relationship with God.
Amen. That's good.
We need to reevaluate our relationship with God.
That's right.
And if we don't know who we are in Christ, we need to spend just a little bit more time with him. And he will show us who we are so we can start operating in the ministry that he is placing us. Each and every person walking on the face of this earth has a purpose. God created you for a purpose. You're living here on this earth for a purpose.
Amen.
And there's somebody waiting in this world that's ready to hear or needs what you have in order for them to reach their destiny, to get where they need to go so they can start fulfilling their purpose.
Amen. That's good.
So
Amen.
As we close out this Bible study tonight, we need to refocus our minds mm-hmm. on the things of God. Don't get caught up in having things.
Yes.
Get focused in having the things of God, and that we will be able to live, that we will be able to live and do what thus saith the Lord, that we can help other people and we can build the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's right. That's
right. Amen. We have to teach our children how to pray. Start taking these children to school. It's probably people that are your neighbors right now that the parents haven't been in church, the children don't go to church, and the children are going to school and interacting with people that don't know a lot about God. We got to get our children to praying and learning and being able to go to school and can pray and intercede for other people. You got people going to school shooting the schools up.
Yes.
They're building our schools like prisons now, mm-hmm. trying to protect our children because people are going in there shooting the schools up. They talking about letting the teachers bring guns to school.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot going on.
Yes.
And we as believers have to get girded up. We have to get girded up so we can be the examples that God has commissioned us to be.
Amen.
And we can share his word. And that when we send our kids to school, that we have taught our kids how to pray. And we can say this school not going to get shot up today because we sent that kid to school.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This not going to happen today. Because I'm
That's
in this parking
right.
lot. This not going to happen today because I'm in this building.
Amen.
And I know what God said about me.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
I know what God's word said about me. And I'm going to speak that word if I go in this building. I'm going to speak that word if I go in this car. I'm going to speak that word when my feet hit the floor.
Amen.
And I'm going to be having these daily conversations with him all day.
Amen. There's a conversation
with him all
Amen.
Day.
That's all right.
Amen.
That's good. That's good.
Amen.
All right, Elder Clay, it's back in your hands.
That's a good word.
Oh, my goodness.
That
well,
was good.
All I can say is thank you for bringing to us the word this evening and just talking about living because there are so many things that's going on around us that's dead, mm-hmm. we don't even recognize it.
And one of the things that I picked up was observe. Observe. To take time, spend time with God, and observe. Just look. After too many things is new. And God begins to reveal to us what's happening, all the dead things that's around us. Just as Ezekiel was talking to Israel about the way they were living their life, this word is speaking to us also about how we're living our life. And the question is, I need to ask myself, how am I living my life? Am I trying to live a life for God, or am I trying to live a life for the world? And we begin, we began to start to look. We talked about what's happening all around. It's, everything is just revealed. And God is just saying it's time to wake up and observe what's going on around you and get your house in order.
Amen.
Getting it together. I know I want to live and not die. As your mother said, I want to live and not die. Now we can look at living from the worldly point in terms of and dying from the worldly point physically, but I'm talking about spiritual. I'm talking about a divine restoration from God. So God is doing a magnificent thing with you and I, and He wants us to wake up so that we become just like Ezekiel. And those dead things bring them alive, and it comes by the word of God. When we're obedient and follow the word of God, things begin to live around us. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about others that God sends us to. So I do want to thank you for this word, which definitely spoke to our camp here.
Yeah.
It spoke to our camp here. So I do thank you for allowing God to work through you, even though that you're in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And we are here in Cleveland, and you're listening to New York and Maryland and other places. But God is the same God. He's the same God yesterday as He is today.
Amen.
And so I do thank you for that. I do thank you for that. As we begin to come to a close, for those of you who are listening, if you would like to share this message with others, amen, and that's really what it's all about, sharing the message. You can go to the archives, and you can let a friend or someone that you basically want to bless, that you want to be a blessing to, you can go to the archives, and you can listen to it through the archives, and you would go to Blog Talk Radio, look for New Beginnings Ministry, and then you would type in, "We Can Begin Again." And it will give you, you'll be able to access this Sandra Rick's message for today. Rocky Mount, we do thank you for being a part of this day. All of those of you who are listening, we didn't hear from, we thank you for being a part of this night. We are a body. And let me tell you something, the body has to work together. The arm cannot function without the leg. The leg cannot function without the foot. Everything has to work together. So it doesn't make a difference where you are, which part of the earth you are. We all have to work together as a body, observing the head, which is Jesus Christ. So we do thank you. We do thank you. Mrs. Ricks, would you like to give us a prayer, closing prayer?
Amen.
Okay, yes. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to come together in fellowship, God, that we will share your word, God. Lord God, I pray that your word has been hidden in our hearts, Lord God, that we might not sin against you, God, that we will take this word and we will live our lives according to your word, Lord God. Help us, God, that we may minister to other people, Lord God. Help us keep the faith, God, because without you, we are nothing. We are nothing without you, God, and we need you every day, every second, every minute, and every hour. Lord, everyone's name that was lifted up, calling out in prayer for healing, Lord God, we thank you for that. We thank you for hearing those prayers. We thank you for healing them right now and an increase in their faith, God, letting them know that you are the healer, you are the deliverer, God, and your word destroys yokes, Lord God. Lord God, thank you for teaching us how to operate in authority. Thank you for making us courageous. Thank you for making us the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath, and more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory tonight because you are awesome. You're wonderful. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'd like to invite you next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we have a new group that's his ministries from out of Maryland. He's out of New Jersey. His ministry, Pastor Miles, will be on next week. His first time joining us. I don't know what's happening with my words, but he'll be joining us from out of New Jersey, Orange, New Jersey. Pastor Miles. So we do invite him and his ministry for becoming a part of this journey that we're on. Remember, believe that.
Cultivation of a life that's still worthwhile.